You have your Bibles, let's go ahead and get right into it. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading verse 1 through verse 9. Read along with me. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, the year is up, and a new one is beginning. It seems like last year flew by. We see this definitely in our kids. At one moment, we're looking at them, and the next moment, oh, you're talking now. Oh, you're walking. Well, this one's scaling a building. They're moving away. They're moving back. We see the years fly by. I don't know when it happened. I remember being a kid, and a summer was forever. And now it seems like you blink, and the year has gone by. And so here we are at the beginning of a new year with new opportunities. And it's our tradition in our culture to make New Year's resolutions, right? And we probably start about maybe like just after Christmas or maybe some of you before, we start dreading them. Oh yeah, now here comes the new, everybody's going to start talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm not particularly a fan of New Year's resolutions. I think resolutions are good, but I think our culture, I think we get it wrong with New Year's resolutions. I think for one, we don't need to wait to the end of the year, to the beginning of a new year to start making resolutions. And I think as a culture, as a people, and I think that we buy into this as well, our New Year's resolutions tend to be things that really don't matter. I'm gonna do 500 push-ups a day, and I'm gonna run 10 miles every day, and I'm gonna look like the Hulk. My resolution. And that's good. Being healthy is and to to live good, healthy lives and be fit. But it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of it. And so we make these resolutions that really, really just might not matter. And so I want to talk to you about a resolution that does matter. It's courage. We see in this text that God commands Joshua to be courageous. And there's something interesting about courage. I think I used to think and buy into the idea that courage is something that I could just, like it's in my closet. I can go into my closet, open it up, boom, there's my courage suit. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to wear my courage. Or it's some sort of armor that's laying in the corner, and you just have to suit up. You just have to put it on. You just have to, I can get it. I can make it. I can come up with it somehow. And the truth is that courage is not from us. We don't have courage. None of you have courage. None of you are courageous in and of yourself. I am not courageous. my natural tendency is to be a coward, to be fearful, to be dismayed and discouraged. Woe is me, to want to run and hide, to seek shelter. But God calls us to be courageous, and that courage comes from Him. Courage is from the Lord. It is not of us, and it's not something we can muster up. And so I want to look at God's call to Joshua to be courageous this morning. And the first thing we see there in verse 1 and 2, let me set the stage here for a second too. He says in verse 1, after the death of Moses. So what you have here, Moses has led the people out of Israel. All of the plagues out of Egypt, all of the plagues and all of the miraculous things that he did, demonstrating his power, demonstrating that he is God, the one true God. He's been the leader this whole time, leading Israel through the desert, speaking to them the commandments of the Lord. And now he's gone. And so there's an emotional context here. Moses is dead. Their leader is gone. And God calls Joshua to step up into his place. Now, from a human perspective, it looks like Joshua has to step up and that God somehow has to raise him up. But from God's perspective, it's linear. Because God is not dependent upon human instruments. God, there was no risk, there was no worry, there was no issue with God's power when Moses died. There was no fear on God's side. But there's an emotional context for us because we tend to put our hope into earthly vessels, into our own abilities, into the abilities of someone else. But God knows that Joshua can fill that role just as easy as Moses did, because the one thing that's going to be true for both of them is that the courage, the power, the authority, the ability, it all comes from the same place. It's all from God. So there's an emotional context here. And Joshua is called up to fill the role of Moses. He's commissioned to carry out the plans of the Lord. And these are big plans. We know as they're going to go into the land of Canaan, there's already nations there. God's saying, hey, this is your land. It's like, imagine you getting a real estate agent, and they say, hey, you like that house? Yeah, like that's a good house. That's a cool house. All right, all you have to do is fight the people that live in the house now, and then that house is yours. So just go in there, knock on the door, you know, pretend like you're, hey, we're here to say hi, and then just storm in and take that house. That's basically what God is telling Israel to do. This is your home now, but by the way, there's some people already here, and they might want to fight you for it. And oh yeah, some of them are giants. Big, strong, well-versed in the art of war giants. Go have at it. So the task is no small task, and there is every reason from a human perspective to be scared. But that's not what God calls them to be. He says, be courageous, Joshua. Courage always comes for a calling. Courage is for a calling. All of you, all of us are called to something. It might not be Joshua's calling where we're going to go invade some land or somebody's house. I hope none of you do the real estate thing. I'll see you on the 9 o'clock news. Crazy person tries to take over house. But courage is for a calling. We don't seek to be courageous because, for some vain attempt of self-help to enrich or make better your life. Hey, if you're courageous, you can find some courage, your life will be better. It's not for that. It's for the glory of God. Courage is for the glory of God. And God's primary purpose is not our happiness. It wouldn't satisfy if it was. Happiness does not satisfy. And so courage is not so that we can live a better life and have more fun. And and in some vain way fix our problems or have some sort of self-help. When he tells Joshua to be courageous, it is so he can make God's glory known by accomplishing his work and experience his power. And so the glory of God then is our greatest delight. And so when we are called to be courageous, like Joshua is called to be courageous, it is for a purpose. It is for a calling. It is for your calling. God has placed a calling on your life. We know this in general because of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and Acts chapter 1, where God says that you will be my disciples and you will be my witnesses. And so all of us are called to be disciple makers and to be witnesses to the glory of God, to the gospel. It's an interesting word, calling. And I think that in our context, we put a special emphasis on that word, that calling is reserved for special people. That calling is reserved for the titans of the faith that are going to be called to some 1040, you know, place deep in the woods where, you know, everything you touch can kill you, and that's not the way it is. Calling is not just for the Joshuas who are going to lead a nation into the promised land. Calling is for all of God's people. God calls all of his people to partake in his plan, in his will, in his way. It is not reserved. In fact, we are all commanded with a calling. You're the one who is the missionary to your workplace. You're the one who is the missionary to your family, to your neighbors. And some of you will be called to some foreign soil where everything can kill you. Some of you will wrestle with that. Some of you need to heed God's calling to go somewhere, to be somewhere else. But for all of us, God calls us to his mission, which is to make his glory known among the nations. And that includes where you work, where you live, where you are, and where you may be going. Courage is for a calling. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Courage is also anchored in the Word. It is anchored in the Word of God. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Oftentimes we find that rather than courage, we have fear and anxiety. When the Lord calls us to something, whether it's to love someone or to preach the gospel to someone or to go someplace and be a light, to surrender something, to sacrifice, to lead well, to give up our own wants and desires, what we have instead often is fear and anxiety and worry, fear of the world, the physical harm, the emotional harm that can come from following the Lord, being different, or the fear of men, the fear of man that causes you to worry. What does this person think? What will this person say? How will they view me? Which often comes from pride. The only reason I care about the fear of man, or what other men think, is because I want them to see me rather than wanting them to see God. The fear of loss and any anxiety that paralyzes us comes from bad theology. If we are away from the Word, our theology will suffer. If we are not delighting in God's Word and inscribing it on our hearts, we will find that our thoughts begin to become bleak and discouraging. Our encouragement is in the Word. And if we are not in the Word, we will lose sight of critical truths about the person and character of God. It is in the Word that we see who God is. We see His work. We see His power. We see His plan. It is in the Word that we hear about the gospel. Romans says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to be in the Word. We need to be immersing ourselves in God's truth so that we can know what is true, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be spurred on, so that we are not discouraged by false truth, so that we can combat the lies of the evil one who wants us to cower in the corner, fearful and afraid. But that is not what Scripture tells us. Scripture says that we are more than conquerors. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we need to be in the Word. We need to be connected to God's truth because it connects us to who He is. And that is a strength and an encouragement. Otherwise, we see things without proper perspective. Those of you who are waiting, and there are some of you here who are waiting. You've been waiting for a long time, waiting on the Lord. And you are tired and weary, and you don't know how things are going to work out, if it's going to get worse or better. And you are waiting patiently. But those of you who are waiting, you would have given up a long time ago, if you had lost your sight of things like those who wait on the Lord renew their strength from Isaiah 40. Those of you who are persevering, you are afflicted. You are facing real dangerous situations. Or you are ill. You are sick, and it will not seem to get better. You are facing some kind of affliction. Those of you who are persevering would be frustrated to the point of bitterness and anger. And you would want to give up if you were to forget that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured in our hearts, from Romans 5. And so we are in the Word so that we can have these truths that can help us be encouraged to be courageous, to be steadfast, to be reminded of the goodness and the love and the character and the faithfulness and the power of God, so that we can step into situations full of courage and hope. So much of whether you waver or proceed with bold determination has to do with how well you are connected to truth, gospel truth, truth from the Word. If you are not connecting yourself to God's truth, you will be discouraged. We are always preaching to ourselves. Always. And when I'm not in the Word, and when you're not in the Word, we are preaching things to ourselves that are not good or healthy or helpful. We are preaching lies and discouragement. And so when we are in the Word, we are preaching to ourselves what is true and right. And it is an encouragement. And so we need to be preaching to ourselves from the Word of God and not from our situation or our circumstances or what other people are saying or how this world might look. But we need to be preaching to ourselves from what God's Word says, so that we are preaching truth to ourselves. And that is important. The Word of God is our home. We should live in it. It is our nourishment. We should eat from it. It is the stone that sharpens our sword before battle. The weak and trembling are strengthened by it. The discouraged find hope, and the wayward find their way through the gospel, through the Word of God. Courage is also delivered through the gospel. Look at verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." It's easy to read over that, but one word stands out there. He says, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There is only one way by which we have fellowship with God. There is only one way through which we can call God our God. Because we started out as the enemies of God. We were against God, and God's wrath was against us. And so there is only one means by which we have fellowship with God. And that is the gospel. It is the person of Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And so Christ dies for our sins to forgive the debt of sin and to quench the wrath of God, so that we could not only be safe, it's not the main point, being safe from hell and all of the destruction that sin has caused, but so that we might know God, and not just know who He is, but be adopted into His family, that we might experience His presence and person, that we might know and see His glory, and that for all of our days we might now be able to delight in His glory and delight in Him. So courage is delivered through the gospel. This is the same gospel courage that Ruth found when her husband had died. And here she is with Naomi, who wasn't exactly a cheerful person. And Naomi saying, "Go away, I have nothing for you. I have less than nothing for you. In fact, God's arm is against me, so it may even get worse. I have nothing to offer you." And what does Ruth say? She says, your God will be my God. And she follows Naomi. She clings to Naomi. She has the courage to go with Naomi when everything looks like it's just broken and a mess. That is gospel courage. She knew God and called him her own God. And that only comes through the gospel. We don't have fellowship with God apart from the gospel, apart from knowing, putting our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins and believing in his power and his work on the cross and the resurrection that gives us new life, forgiveness from sins. We don't have fellowship with God apart from that. And we don't have courage apart from God. Courage is a grace of the gospel. God also in the gospel declares victory. From the beginning, the head of the serpent is crushed, we see in Genesis. This is a declaring of victory. On the cross and through the resurrection, victory is declared over sin and death. Death is overcome. We see that. Flip with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 15, verse 58. Rather, verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We said earlier that courage is for a mission. And that courage is found in the gospel. And that gospel courage gives us the immovable, steadfast ability to do the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain, because it is the power of God at work. And we see that in the gospel. We see that in our own lives. I have this problem sometimes. When I'm going to share the gospel with someone, I have this thought. They're not going to believe. It seems to precede every attempt to share the gospel. And then it's a lie. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I don't know if they're going to believe or not. That is for the Lord to know the heart. But it is of no use or no value, no service for me to walk into that situation and go, I don't think they're going to believe. I'll share the gospel, but I don't think they're going to believe. Because there was no good reason for me to believe the gospel, except for the power of God at work to change a sinner's heart, to cause me to repent of sin, to turn from being an enemy of God. With my flag flown, I am against God. I don't like God. I'm at war with him. What can make a guy like that change his flag? Nothing but the power of God. And so I should know from my own life that the power of God through the gospel can transform and change a hard heart, because my heart was hard. Because your heart was hard And God's power intervened and gave you a heart of flesh. And so we should believe when we're on mission that if God can work in our lives, he can work in anybody's lives. And it should spur us on to have courage. Courage comes from the gospel. Courage is also strengthened. By the way, one more thing about the gospel. It's interesting. We were talking about that the gospel declares the victory over sin and death. It's done. We know the end. We've read the end of the book. We know how the story ends. God will reign. God reigns now in glory and majesty and power and authority over all of his creation. And he will redeem and restore all things to himself for his name. So we can be a little reckless. I don't mean go do stupid things. But I mean we can abandon some of our caution. And we can be bold. We can say things to people that might otherwise be faux pas, or you're not supposed to bring up religion or faith or things like that. But we can be a little reckless because the victory is already declared. We know how it ends, and so you can risk more. The gospel calms our anxieties and our fears. Courage is also strengthened through the assurance of God's presence. We see this in verse 5. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." I love this part. "I will not leave you or forsake you." Courage is strengthened through the assurance of God's presence. His cause, have no fear, church, his cause will not fail. He will accomplish his work. We said earlier that he's not dependent upon human instruments. There's no bumps in the road between Moses and Joshua. There's no like, oh, Moses is dead. What do we do? God's not worried about it. And so on one end, God uses us in powerful ways. He will use you to proclaim his kingdom, to make his name known. He will use you in the transformation of people's hearts. And yet at the same time, he's not dependent upon you. And it's not going to be your eloquent words or your persuasive speech or your convincing argument that changes somebody's heart and causes them to believe in the gospel or to repent of sin. So you have two sides. You have the side where God uses us and he calls us to that work, calling sinners to himself and calling and causing people to repent and believe in the gospel and to live godly, righteous, faith-filled, gospel-centered lives. He uses us in that work, but it is his power that is at work through us. And absent of that, nothing would happen. But the fact is that God's power is not absent. It is present in our lives through his word and through his people. And so there is power to be had. So there's no bumps. It's a smooth transition between Moses and Joshua. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be giants to fight off, that there won't be other cities that will seek to attack and destroy, that there will be issues, there will be hardships, there will be struggles to overcome. But what it means is that God will always overcome when it comes to his purposes and his plans. He will always accomplish his purposes and his plans. And so that should give us courage to suit up and to go out into the mission field, to go out and be bold with the gospel, to be truth tellers, to be, like Paul says, ambassadors of Christ, who know where home is. I know where my roots are. I know where the strength comes from. I know who's watching over me. There is great strength to be had through the assurance of God's presence. Verse 5, he reminds Joshua of Moses' victories. Remember, I was with Moses. Remember all that Moses did? Remember the whole like parting of the sea thing? Yeah, that was me. I was in that. You know, like Moses held his staff up. Okay, wow, good job, Moses. But the sea parted because I told it to. I used Moses. Here. Part C. Power was in God. So he reminds Moses of all of his victories to remind him that Moses' God is the one who was the power. And so when it comes to you and the mission and the call that I've put on your life, I am the power and the strength. And I was with Moses. It would have looked really bad. Moses had walked up to the sea and went, huh? And nothing, it just stays, you know. Here we go. Wait, let me switch hands. I think it was the wrong hand. Huh? It would have been a very embarrassing, at least embarrassing for a second, until the Egyptian army caught up to them. There's no point during the journey where God's power was lacking or missing or absent, nor was his presence. When that water needed to part, it parted. When they needed food because they were in the desert, it fell from the sky. When they needed to be guided by day and by night, there was smoke and there was fire. Everything that they needed to accomplish what God was calling them to was provided. And his presence. With Moses, we see the whole kind of glory of God, where God's glory actually dwells. They build the temple, the tent, and there's the inner chamber, and God's glory actually dwells with them. This is cool stuff. And so God reminds Joshua of all of these things. Reminds him of Moses so that he would be encouraged. The promise of his presence is both proximity and activity. God is present, he is near, and God is involved. He's not just watching, he is watching, he is close, he is near, but he's also involved. He directs his power towards us and into the lives of his people. My failure for courage, and I often find that I am crying out to the Lord for courage because it is not of myself. And maybe I'm just more scared than most people. But I find that often my failure for courage is rooted in unbelief, which is why we need to be in the Word of God, that we might be encouraged to believe. But courage is a product of faith. It is a product of belief. A good example of this is David versus Goliath. You know, Here's this kid. And it's almost funny. I mean, he believes so much in the power and presence of God that he steps up amongst all of these well-trained, enlisted soldiers. And he's like, "Hey, there's a giant? Yeah, all right, let me go get some stones. Hold on. I got this." You know, he's just, "Hey, giant, yeah, God's stronger than you. Bam, okay, done. I'm going to go play my harp. See ya." You know, it's uncanny how much confidence he has in the Lord, where it's not even a thing. It's not even a big deal, because he knows. And he tells Goliath, he says, "Hey, look, I'm going to kill you in the name of the Lord, because you're spitting out this, this vile untruth and wretchedness about God. And so I'm going to kill you in his name. See ya." You know, and Goliath is, he doesn't think anything's up. But here this kid, boom, done. Okay. We see God's power. We see manifested in the courage of David to even stand up, to even pick up those stones and go fight the giant. Nobody wanted to do it. It was because of their unbelief. And then we see Paul's confidence in Romans 1. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." Some of you are ashamed of the gospel. And the reason you're ashamed of the gospel is because you don't believe it is the power of God for salvation. And so you need to believe. Like Paul does, you need to believe and not be ashamed of it, because it is the power of God for salvation. Because unbelief leads us to works, trying to muster some sort of ability on our own, leads us away from the gospel, and it leads us to frailty and discouragement and fear. So we need to believe. We need to believe the gospel. And we need to believe in the power of God. I want to close by reading a passage from 1 Timothy. I want you to see three things as we read this together. Three things: that courage is from the gospel, that it is for a mission, and that it is fortified by God's power and presence. Turn to 1 Timothy. Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. We'll read both Timothys. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says this: "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Scroll over to chapter 2, verse 1. "You then My child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him, as an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of his crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let us be courageous this year to do great things for the gospel. Let us put it on the line, risk, so that we might endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Let's lay it down. Be courageous. We have all that we need from God. Pray. Pray the band can come up as well. Lord, we need to believe. We confess that our hearts are often unbelieving and leading us to fear and dismay and being sluggish and even wavering in what you have called us to do, who you've called us to be as your ambassadors. So, Lord, we confess that we have hearts that want to run and flee because of unbelief. Because we don't know, we don't see your power in this world and in our lives. And so, Lord, please show us, remind us that you are a God who is not discouraged, who is not overcome, that you are a God who directs power into our lives, that we might know you through the gospel. Lord, help those, there are some here who just need to believe the gospel, that they might know you. And there are those of us who need courage to take on your mission with faithfulness, with zeal, with passion, with a willingness to abandon and sacrifice, knowing that your power and presence are there with us all the time. So help us, Lord, we pray that we would be gospel lights into this world. We would not fear the darkness, but that we would light it up with courage, through boldly proclaiming the word of God and the gospel of Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.